Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, everyone. Welcome back to the SexRx Show with Michaela. Today we're going to be talking about gender identity. There's so many acronyms going on nowadays, it's hard to keep up with them all. Also with gender identity, the lines are no longer defined, which has caused a lot of for many different people. But regardless of our beliefs, one of the common grounds for humans should be that we are all deserving of love, equality, and to be able to be our own self as long as we're not harming another. So today we wanted to discuss this gender identity and the issues that are going along with the LGBTQI community that they're currently facing. So I brought on the guest, Melissa Griffiths, who joins us to share part of her story and insight firsthand to hopefully shed light and educate listeners on some of these issues. We're also going to be talking about some of the common concerns that those on the other side looking in have and hopefully help bridge the gap of disconnection and propel further understanding. So welcome, Melissa. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you, Michaela?
I'm good. So I'm glad that you had the time to come on today and share with listeners a little bit about your story and some of these things that, you know, people are talking about but just don't understand. So first of all,
yes.
I just wanted to see if you wouldn't mind sharing with the listeners a little bit about yourself.
I was born in New Zealand. I moved to Australia in about 1999, and I transitioned from male to female back in 2015. So I was living as a male up until the age of around 44 at that point in time, and then I took some time off work, 5 weeks, to change all my documents over to my female name and some of my documents over to my female gender. And I've been living over a year and a half, going on probably nearly 2 years later on this year, as a female.
That's definitely got to have been a big step. And so for you, you chose to do this later on in life. So you just wanted to go backwards a little bit to understand, you
yep.
know, for people, like, because, you know, I don't understand all the way either. So, you know,
yep.
first of all, doing this, like, okay, a lot of people, here's a big question for those on the other side. You know, we don't understand that, you know, we think
yep.
a lot of, some people think this is a mental condition. Like, this is, you know, you're crazy.
Yep.
There's something wrong with
yep.
you. So, like, to those people that
yep.
understand, what would you hope for them to, what would you like them to know?
Well, I guess gender identity is that we feel as though we are, well, we know we are as female, and most of us know as a young age. Some of us, obviously, like my age, didn't have the hindsight of the internet, even though we sort of knew when we were younger, so didn't understand the feelings we had. However, it's not really a mental condition. It's just we know our identity is as a female, for example, if we're born in a male, so we know it doesn't match our body. So it doesn't mean we're crazy. It's just we know there's something wrong with us, that the way we feel our identity as a female, for me as a transgender woman, doesn't match my body. And for some of us, that can happen later in life. Might realize it later in life, or not, like, unlike me, not had the benefit of having internet when you're younger. And like for me, living part-time for a long time, since probably 29, 30, and even dressing before that, because of work, concerns of work, and only in the last few years it's starting to become a little bit more acceptable. So, and some people never live full-time because they don't want to lose the job security.
And so is that something that, like the job security stuff, is that something that you're facing or that you know a lot of others are having
A lot of others choose not to live full-time because of that issue. And there are other transgender women that obviously do find it difficult to get work. And obviously here in Australia or in America, a lot of transgender women will work as escorts because they're unable to get other types of work and unable to save up to get an education or start their own business. So it is an issue.
So besides the job issue, what are some of the other issues that you guys face? Because I know you sent me a lot of different links you know, it sounds like there's, you know, problems with, you know, loved ones understand. I mean, let alone society understanding, even your loved ones.
Yeah.
And then I think something about, you know, higher suicide rates. Is that true too?
Yeah, so it's your family, like if you've got a partner, and it gets more complicated if you've got kids as well. So if you go full-time, you potentially, like in most cases, your partner will leave you or your wife will leave you, want to leave you, and then there's the issues of the kids not, if you've got kids as well, whether they'll understand it, let alone accept you, in terms of you obviously used to be known as dad, but now becoming mum sort of thing. So there's issues around that and people's lack of awareness or understanding around that, and having to go through that can be quite traumatic for some people, and some transgender people just choose not to do it. They might even hide it from their wife for all their life and not transition full time. For those that do, obviously, potentially they lose just about everyone. They could lose their friends, their family, because it doesn't matter how many times they might sit down and talk about it. They just may not want to understand, or they may not even want to talk about it. And then you've obviously got the high suicide rates, because we're obviously a minority in society, and there's still a lot of barriers there in terms of society understanding transgender people, because it's still quite a new thing in the world. So, and a lot of people getting access to medical care in Australia or America may be something they can't afford or easily access. So dealing with thoughts of suicide, and there's obviously high rates of thoughts of suicide and high rates of suicide in Australia, or attempted suicide, and I'm sure in America there would be similar issues there. And I know there's been transgender people killed in America, so there's still a lot of awareness don't need to be done and raising awareness around the world in terms of gender identity, and that we're not some sort of disease or we're crazy or anything like that.
Okay, so I get that part. Okay, so Melissa, I still have several questions still rolling in my mind, and so I'll just go off one at a time because there's several and they come. Okay, but here was one big issue that we had, at least here in the U.S., even in this last year, I remember it coming up, was about transgender bathrooms. And so that was a really huge deal over here about, and I know, I think Target was one of the companies that went ahead and opened a transgender bathroom. And there was a lot of uproar about that. And so, you know, me looking on the outside in, and I'm on both sides of the fence, because one, I respect people and what they want to be. And then, you know, you're a mother and you're thinking about your kids. And so I guess the big concern for a lot of people was that the people that are claiming to be transgender weren't really transgender, but they were more like praying, you know, pedophiles, like guys that really weren't what they say they were, and just wanting to get into the girls' bathrooms. So you being transgender, I mean, how do you feel about that? Are you really staunch on you guys should have these bathrooms and everybody should come in? Or how do you feel about on the other side about what these people feel? Like, you know, because personally, the way I thought to resolve that was, you know, just have if that's the case, just have a bathroom that's a for everybody bathroom, and just, but still have your separate ones, you know, so that it doesn't cause this kind of uproar. Mm. Or do you feel like you guys deserve the right to have that? I mean, and not worry about the fear of maybe something happening
well,
by people that aren't transgender.
You can have male and female toilets, and I remember now about the Target issue in America. Some companies have unisex toilets here, which is actually probably better because they're far cleaner, so that takes away that whole issue. So whether you're male or female or transgender or intersex, you just use the unisex toilet. And I know a few companies have adopted that approach, and they don't have a separate male or female bathroom. So it's probably one way of getting around it. And as far as me using the female toilets, remember I had sort of some issues around that myself. If you use a female toilet, well, obviously you're going to need to use the bathroom, no other reason. So I obviously appreciate in America it's different again. Obviously the issues and it tends to vary from state to state in terms of the bathroom issue. It's probably one way they could get around it if it's a unisex toilet. You know, obviously forcing someone who's a transgender woman to go to a male toilet because that's their birth gender. A, makes them feel uncomfortable. It's probably going to make the men in the male toilet feel uncomfortable as well because it's a male toilet and you're going there and it's dressed as a female. So that's not really going to work. The only way to really resolve it is have a unisex toilet.
So do you think they should have a unisex toilet that's like a single use or like a broad, you know, a whole public one of everybody
well,
in there?
Well, broad use because there's intersex people as well, so they might have male and female parts. So, and that's a different thing again. So if you have a unisex toilet, A, they're cleaner, and B, and you can just have a couple of them, then you've got one where you've got at least two, then obviously if people don't want a transgender woman going into one, they'll just use the other. So it just takes away the whole issue of male, female, transgender.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you said the word intersex, and that was a new one for me. So you just said that was about where somebody has one or the other gender parts, like both. So it's when they haven't transitioned all the way over and they haven't both. Okay. I'm probably going to go ahead and touch on this one and jump back to the other questions. Okay, so with that, you know, you talked about like this, like all this stuff is really new to society. So is it really new to society, like these different gender identity, like lesbian, gay, bisexual, all of this stuff? Like, is this really new to the world, or is this something that's always, do you know or know about the research, like that has it always been around, like even back in the day? Or do you think this is just a culmination of us just becoming, wanting to be so individual and be, I guess, you know, what a lot of people would wonder is, where's the line of accepting everybody? Like, okay, so for instance, say we accept, if people are accepting of transgender, gay, lesbian, all of this stuff, but then what happens? Okay, here's what I'm thinking, pedophiles. Okay, so when do you cross the line and say, that's not okay? Like, are we going to accept everybody's differences? Like, it's not even about God or religion, but it's like, where's that line where it might not be a good thing? So like, you know, for instance, there's a group called NAMBLA, a North American Man-Boy Love Association, where they believe they have the right to be in love with young boys. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Like, where's the line where it could possibly hurt others, you know? And did this really start just now? And is this just a product of society and us, where we're going? Or is this something that was always ingrained in humanity from the get-go, but people weren't able to express it till now?
Well, I think it's just we're more aware of what's going on in the world. Like, I get what you're saying with man blow. That's probably where it's going to hurt people, and you've got to have a sort of a logical line. But if you obviously look back in the Roman days and the Greek days, the Spartans always had their young boy or young lover there, so there's always been the gay thing around. And probably if you look back in history, there's been lesbians around. It just wasn't really talked about it as much as it is now. And obviously, I read recently there's an article about it, even in the Indian culture in America, they recognized there was five different genders, and showed a picture of an Indian guy who lived as a female with his wife. So there's indications that it's probably been around for a long time. It's just now that it's starting to come out into the open, and people are more aware of it, and people want to come out and be more open about it. So I think it's something that's been around for quite a while. It's just not something that's been really talked about or in society, and now it is.
Okay.
And I agree. Like, you've got to have a certain line, like with the pedophile things, like in terms of man love boy association. Well, really, society's got to decide its morals. What's the legal age for sexual intercourse? If it's 18, that's between an adult and a teenager. If that's 18, like if someone's 35, the adult is 18, if that's the legal age of consent, then society's got to make a stand on that, so regardless of age. And obviously that may be different back in history, but obviously we're living now, so society's got to decide what its morals and ethics are.
Right, and that's one thing that's so hard too across the globe, because even with that point, everywhere is different. I mean, you know, here in America, it's supposed to be, you know, 18. If you're married, maybe, you know, like, but then you, in Europe, it's a little bit younger. You've got other places in Asia, India, where it's different, where they got young marriages. So, I mean, even to just get that aligned right there, because everywhere is different. But, okay, so here's the other two biggest questions. So here's one of them. One is, okay, so people that are really religious, say, I'm just going to give example, Christianity. You know, you have your Christian values and, you know, you believe in, or like just like moms and dads in the home, like that's how it has to be. And like, the, you know, saying like the all these different identities and groups are breaking up a family structure. What do you have to say about that? About, you know, like the times that we're coming in now. Like, I mean, what do you feel is important for family? Does it really have to have that old strict model and way, or is there another way to have a family and still be healthy?
I think that comes down to the individual. So, if it's a lesbian couple or a gay couple, they've got to work that out, and on an individual level, how they if you know, got two mums and it's just they're with their kids, explaining to the kids and then dealing with the rest of the family. So that's probably something that will be different family to family, how they grapple with those issues. They can still have a healthy environment. I think it comes back to the parents. Everyone says gay and lesbian parents aren't fit to be parents. However, that most of them are. Some of them are fitter than normal heterosexual couples. So it's just a different family structure. If they're both working or both got their own businesses and they're both reasonable people and fit to be parents, then there's no reason they can't be. And with family structure, it's just a different family structure. However, it can be work, can be healthy, and it doesn't mean the kids are going to grow up to be lesbian or gay themselves. One of them might grow up to be transgender. Both of them might grow up to be straight. So I just think the argument that gay or lesbian parents aren't fit to be parents doesn't really wash with me. You've got to look at the people themselves and take out the sexuality. Are they fit to be parents in the first place?
Exactly. And I feel that as well, as far as, you know, it's an individual thing. And, most of us were raised in the earlier ages where it was mom and dad in the home. But, I mean, it's shifted now where with all the divorce rates and stuff, and even with people that stay together, I mean, there's a lot of dysfunction already with heterosexual relationships. Mm. So I do agree with you in the sense of it does come down to the people together and how you decide to raise kids. You know, I do think, and it's hard because, you know, not everybody sees that, or they don't want to swallow that. It's not their cup of tea to hear.
Right.
So it's hard to know. Like, we're all here and we're all just trying to live. And I don't see anything wrong with that myself, as long as you're not harming another. So, but again, me talking about harming another. So this is another big question that I have, and maybe others do too, is, here's another one that came up recently, was like, I hear in America, and I think in like Europe or maybe Britain, UK, they're starting to do where they want to allow to ask the kids what their identity is as early as kindergarten age. And so, you know, that's really hard for me to grasp, and I don't understand either. It's like, one, why are you talking to kids that early? I mean, like, I guess I could see it like in middle school when they're doing the whole sex education, but it's hard because I know that you say that kids can know this at an early age, but it's like, is this, like, all of a sudden the public education system is deciding this, you know, whatever. Mm. So I'm like, I guess I'm confused because it's like, it's one thing, I guess, you know, for kids to come on their own with this, but it's like, it almost feels like from the outside looking in, that, you know, we are causing confusion in the kids or manipulating them at such a young age where they don't need to even be thinking about this. They should be thinking about their school studies. So what are your thoughts on all of that?
I think it should just be a safe environment. So if they know, because a lot of kids know by the time they're 5 years old, if they're a boy or a girl, or if they're transgender, they know, if they're a female. So most of them do. And, like, With Royal Children's Hospital in Melbourne, they do have a unit that deals with a lot of children and transgender teenagers as well. So a lot of them do know pretty young, and documentaries I've seen here as well on it, most of them know by 7 years old, if they're like transgender female, for example, and they're a lot happier being able to live from a young age rather than being, if they were forced to wait till 18, that's where you potentially have teenage suicide. I know we had a Queensland boy kill himself at 13 in the last year because he was gay, so you don't want to sort of intervene at too younger age, but you don't want to leave it too late either, because then potentially there's the suicide issue. So really it's got to be a balance between not forcing it, but obviously creating that safe environment where they can talk about it if they feel they can't talk to it about their parent. And that's obviously sometimes, you know, as you said, some homes aren't the best. However, the kid may know at 4 or 5 years old that they are actually transgender, but they need to have someone to go to talk to at school if they can't tell their parents if home life isn't the best.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I definitely get where you're coming from. It's hard for me, and I know probably a lot of people, it's so hard to understand, and we have such our paradigms are so rigid, like it's just, you don't want to see that. But I mean, if you could just open your mind a little bit and just have love and compassion. Okay, and here's another big thing that I just thought about. This is another big thing too, is like about like hate speech and how we're talking to people, or like for instance, what we call each other. Like it's getting to the point where people, like I don't know about all over there, but I knew in America, like in colleges and stuff, I see it on the news where they're making everything, all the words, all the verbiage, gender neutral. Like you can't even say, like you have to be careful on saying he, she, whatever. Like you have to address people how, what they want to be called. Okay, I get that you want that, and I think you should, but where is the line there? Like what if you didn't know and it was an accident? Are you, like, is everybody going to get in trouble for, you know, how, what you're saying? Like I don't know, where, what do you think about that, and or how do you think people could resolve that?
I think just ask the person if they just want to be called Kim or Melissa. Just ask them and just refer them to by their name if you're meeting them for the first time, or and then you can ask them about, once you get to know them, about whether they want to be called he or she or her. But generally, you'll probably, most people will call their friends by their first name. So I think it's just a matter of sitting down and having a conversation with a person to break down those barriers. And like, I know it's heading that way here to like being gender neutral here, and some people may feel that that's obviously a lack of respect for some people, not calling their doctor, just calling them by their first name, and I understand that, or just not calling her or he as such. So then it comes back to just having a conversation and talking to the person. And
so
then if you're coming from the right place, if you're coming from the right place and it's not done with, you know, bad intent, as we said, you know, if you call someone he or she, and I think it's just more about your intent as well. So if you're doing it from a bad intent, then obviously then you're going to create a negative environment and get a negative reaction. And that's where I think coming in and just asking the person and treating them as you would treat your best friend.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting because it just sounds like the bottom line to so many of our issues in society is communicating, actually truly
that's
communicating,
right,
and listening to each other. And, you know, that's what the other thing is too, I guess, again, and I'm not even just with issue, but a lot of other issues is, okay, you might not like something, you might disagree, but is there a common ground to just accept each other as humans? And, you know, and then that's the other thing too. I mean, I'm not saying everybody is spiritual or religious, but majority of the world does believe in stuff like that, but they, you know, you talk about these basic principles of love and compassion for others, and it's just like, where is the line to remember that, and where, like, you know, and you can't pick and choose that. If you believe in something like that, what gives you the authority to pick and choose who deserves love and who deserves this and that? You know, it needs to be across the board, and so. That's my big concern is, you know, where we're going. I believe we all can have, you know, a healthy life and love each other. But it's like, again, just caring for one another. And again, sexuality, that's such a big thing, too. With what people do behind closed doors, that's not really none of our business. And, you know, as long as you're not hurting anybody, it really shouldn't affect your outside world, you know?
That's right. Exactly. Like what people do in the bedroom is between them, so... not anyone else's concern.
So Melissa, you know, we got about 5 minutes, and I just wanted to see what other topics, like, or issues around this did you want to highlight that you really would like listeners to know?
I think it's just around the being more aware that for a lot of transgender people, even to come out is a big thing. It's a mental thing for them as well, and come out to their family and friends, and finding that support sometimes can be very challenging, even in Australia, if you're living in rural Australia or if you're living in rural America. I can't imagine what it'd be like living as a transgender woman in a small town in America. It could be great, it could be terrible. So just having a bit of compassion and understanding for that person, what they're going through, and they're just trying to, they just want to live their lives is the way they're meant to live their lives. And if people sort of take that view and be a bit more compassionate towards them, they don't have to necessarily accept it, but just understand that they're not crazy or just woke up one morning, decided to wear a dress sort of thing, like a cross-dresser. This is how they want to live their life. And it's a big thing. It's involved. You've got to go on hormones, and a lot of countries may have to see a psychiatrist to get approval to go on hormones. It's a big thing, and a lot of transgender people just buy the hormones on the black market if they can't get a script for it and start living that way. So, because they just want to, that's who they are. And if people sat down and just thought about it more instead of just being hateful and spiteful, then I think people would start to realise that we're not crazy or mad, that we're just living our lives as we see fit.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like I said, not everybody's going to like what we talked about today, but I'm all about spreading more love and light in the world, you know, and it starts with this. It, like, you know, it starts with a conversation just like this today. And I hope listeners can, you know, got a chance to hear both sides, you know, because I think I was able to pose some of the questions that I think a lot of people that don't understand at all, you know, that's their biggest questions, you know. And so, again, I don't understand at all, and this is just a step in the right direction to try to start learning.
Yeah.
So, Melissa, that's right. I really appreciate that you took the time to share this, and you also gave a lot of great links. I listed several on the show description, listeners, for you to check out.
Right.
So whether you're here in America or overseas, there's several different links that you guys can check out. And I especially want to recognize the youths that are going through this right now. I think that's the generation most of all, you know, that have that opportunity to recognize, you know, who they believe they are and want to be.
Right.
And there is more and more support out there starting to come around. And so thank you, Melissa, for sharing all of this. Is there anything else that you'd like to say before we get going?
Just realize with gender identity that just think of it as if the person is born as a male or female and that they identify as the opposite sex to what they're born as. Just keep it simple when you're trying to understand what a transgender person is, and that person identifies that as. And if you do that, then it'll help you understand a bit more easier. And think of it as like if it was your best friend, how would you treat them? Would you reject them just because they came out and said they're transgender? Or, I want to start living as a female, and I've known for quite a while, and I've now got the courage to come out, and it takes a lot of guts and courage for people to come out. especially if you're doing it later in life, and recognize what if one of your friends came out as gay or lesbian, just start to think about that. It takes a lot of guts and courage to do it and live and be true to yourself. It's not easy because a lot of people will bully you or pick on you or harass you, so recognize that it's courageous and just sit down and have a conversation, have a beer or coffee, whatever, and talk about it.
I'm in so much agreement, Melissa, because it comes down to what you just said, being true to yourself. And I think everybody in this world, that's one thing we all struggle with. And so it's not even about gender identity, sexuality, about being true to ourselves. We're all struggling with this. So, yes, having compassion for ourselves and each other will make this world a better place. So thank you, Melissa, for your time. I wish you the best in everything that you're doing, and just that, you know, for more people that are going through things that you're going through, that we start to continue to open those doors to be mindful of each other.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, you take care. Melissa, thank you. Listeners, thank you so much for listening to the show. You know, I'm here really to help with sexual awareness, education, also to live a healthy and fun lifestyle too. So stay tuned for more. You guys take care. Big, big hugs. I'll catch you soon.
Okay, catch you soon, Michaela.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.